Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good morning to everyone.
Pasteur Chaleur me disait tout à l'heure que
Pasteur Chaleur was telling me earlier
que dans l'église, il y avait maintenant beaucoup d'Africains francophones.
And in this church here now we have a lot of French speaking Africans.
Donc simplement pour mon plaisir, est-ce que vous pourriez vous lever
just
si vous êtes
me.
De
can
cette
just,
église
if you're from this church,
et vous êtes Africain francophone.
And you're a French speaking African, can you just stand up?
Wow. Wow. Nous allons prier. Père céleste,
Heavenly Father,
merci vraiment pour tout ce qu'on a entendu déjà ce matin.
We want to thank you for everything we've heard so far this morning.
Et merci pour ce que l'on va entendre.
And we thank you for what we're about to hear.
C'est vraiment un privilège de savoir que tu es un Dieu qui nous parle.
It is a privilege to know that you are a speaking God.
Et je te demande de bénir maintenant cette portion au nom de Jésus-Christ.
Ask you to bless this portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
J'aimerais que nous lisions ensemble un extrait de l'Épître aux Hébreux au chapitre 12.
Let's read from Hebrews chapter 12.
Hébreux chapitre 12 et on va lire des versets 18 à 24.
Verse 18 through 24.
Donc je vais laisser Philippe lire le texte en anglais.
Okay, I'll read in English. 18 through 24. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempests, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable companies of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better things than that of Abel.
Ce matin, j'aimerais vous parler de quatre choses.
I'd like to speak about four different things this morning.
Deux montagnes.
Two mountains.
Une assemblée.
One assembly.
Et des premiers-nés.
And the firstborns.
On sait que les Hébreux à qui cette épître est adressée.
We know that the Hebrews to which the epistle has been written to.
Pour différentes raisons, avaient quitté l'Église de Jésus-Christ.
For several reasons. Left the church of Jesus Christ.
Et se rassemblaient dans les synagogues ou au temple à Jérusalem.
And they actually were meeting in synagogues or in the temple in Jerusalem.
Et le fait de se rassembler avec les Juifs.
And because they were assembling with the Jews.
C'était pour eux la même chose puisque finalement les Juifs c'était aussi le peuple de Dieu.
And for them it was kind of the same thing because the Jews are the people of God.
Et là, l'auteur de l'Épître aux Hébreux dit quelque chose de très intéressant.
And here the author of the book here says something very important.
Il ne faut pas oublier qu'on doit marcher par la foi.
He says, don't forget that we need to walk by faith.
On fait des choses sur cette terre.
We are doing things on this earth.
Mais en fait, c'est par la foi que nous vivons.
But we also live by faith.
Et par la foi, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé lorsque on a rencontré Jésus-Christ?
And what happened by faith when we met Jesus Christ?
En fait, lorsqu'on a cru en Jésus-Christ,
when we believed in Jesus,
on ne s'est pas rassemblé dans la montagne du Sinaï.
We didn't meet or assemble in Mount Sinai.
Et c'est de cette première montagne dont l'auteur parle ici.
And this is this first mountain that the author is speaking
about.
Une
montagne
about here.
Où il y a la colère de Dieu.
A mountain on which there is the wrath of
God.
Il y a
le feu.
There is the fire.
Il y a la peur.
There is the fear.
Même si un animal touchait cette montagne, il devait être lapidé.
Even the beast that was just touching the mountain was to be stoned.
Et la loi ne permet pas de se rassembler dans la paix et dans la joie.
The law really doesn't allow us to assemble in peace and joy.
On ne peut pas se rassembler avec Dieu avec la loi.
We cannot meet God according to the law.
Au contraire, la loi nous éloigne de Dieu.
The law actually takes us away from God.
Et ce qui est extraordinaire avec ces conférences ou les rassemblements que nous avons en tant que peuple de Dieu.
And what's amazing about those conventions and conferences that we assemble together as a people of God.
Nous venons parce que nous habitons peut-être à côté.
Maybe we come because we live close by.
D'autres prennent l'avion, font des voyages.
Some others take the plane and do long trips.
Et donc on fait des choses sur cette terre pour vivre ce moment.
So we are making decisions and we do things on this earth to live those kinds of moments.
Mais du point de vue de Dieu, ce rassemblement.
But from the point of view of God, this gathering,
c'est un rassemblement sur une montagne.
It is a gathering at a mountain.
Mais ce n'est pas le Sinaï.
But this is not Sinai.
C'est la montagne de Sion.
It's Zion.
C'est la montagne où la grâce règne.
It is a mountain on which grace reigns.
C'est une montagne où l'œuvre accomplie est communiquée.
This is a mountain on which the finished work is communicated.
Ce qui est intéressant, c'est que sur la première montagne,
what is very interesting is that on the first mountain,
le peuple avait tellement peur qu'il ne voulait plus entendre de Dieu.
The people were so afraid that they didn't want to hear anything from God anymore.
Ils ont demandé à Moïse que Dieu se taise, c'est trop dur.
They said, may God be silent. This is too difficult for us.
Mais je pense,
but I think,
que lorsque nous venons ici,
when we come here,
nous avons envie d'entendre de
Dieu. We want to hear from God.
On a envie que Dieu nous parle.
We want God to speak to
us. On a envie
us.
Que Dieu nous touche.
We want God to touch us.
On veut que, au travers des orateurs que nous allons écouter,
we want that through the speakers we are going to hear,
qu'une
from,
voix puisse se manifester en haut d'une montagne.
We want this voice coming up from the top of the mountain.
Et ça va nous aider à nous rapprocher de Dieu.
And that will allow us to get closer to God.
À monter, à gravir cette montagne.
To kind of go up that mountain.
En attendant d'être au ciel avec Dieu.
As we wait to be in heaven with Him.
Et cette montagne, c'est la montagne de Sion.
And this mountain, it's Mount Zion.
C'est la montagne de l'espérance.
This is the mountain of hope.
Et c'est cette espérance que nous partageons aussi les uns avec
and
les autres.
And this is the hope that we partake, we share with each other.
J'ai beaucoup aimé l'illustration de Pasteur Pavel tout à l'heure.
I really enjoyed Pastor Pavel's illustration this morning.
Il parlait de cette voiture abîmée.
When he spoke about this beaten car.
Mais en fait, à l'intérieur, tout était changé, neuf.
But
restauré.
Everything inside is brand new.
Et pourquoi ça a été fait?
Why?
Parce que la grâce de Dieu est venue dans notre vie.
Because the grace of God came into our lives.
Et vous savez, je peux imaginer que certains d'entre nous on a passé une année difficile.
Maybe some of us went through a very difficult year.
On a perdu peut-être des proches.
Maybe we lost someone.
Peut-être que sur le champ missionnaire tout n'a pas été comme on l'a espéré.
Maybe we were on the mission field and nothing really went the way we were supposed to be.
On a peut-être des craintes pour demain.
Maybe we have fears for tomorrow.
Les choses apparemment sont peut-être difficiles.
And maybe things around us look difficult.
Mais nous avons ce privilège.
But we have this privilege.
De nous rassembler.
To get together.
Et puis de pouvoir entendre de Dieu.
And to be able to hear from
God. Peu importe ce que nous voyons par la vue.
Whatever we see by sight.
Et c'est intéressant parce que lorsqu'il est dit là, en parlant de cette montagne où il y a des anges qui regardent.
And he says, you know, about this mountain that the angels are looking.
Qu'est-ce qu'il y a aussi? Il y a une assemblée.
There is also an assembly.
Mais c'est intéressant parce que en français, en tout cas, c'est traduit par un seul mot.
And it's interesting because in French, it comes up as one word.
Et alors qu'en réalité, en grec, il y a deux mots.
But in Greek, we have two words.
Qui sont apposés l'un à côté de l'autre.
Two words that are next to each other.
Le premier, c'est le mot ecclesia.
And the first one is ecclesia.
On le connaît ce mot, ça
we
parle de l'assemblée.
Word. It speaks about a gathering, an assembly of Christians.
Mais il y a un deuxième mot qui a collé à ce mot ecclesia.
And next to it in the original there is another word.
C'est panégouris.
Panégouris.
Et que signifie ce mot?
What does that word mean?
Ça signifie un rassemblement pour faire la fête.
It is a gathering for a feast.
Et donc l'église là dont il est parlé,
so the church he's talking about here,
le mont Sion sur lequel nous nous tenons pendant cette conférence,
the Mount Sion on which we are on during that conference,
c'est pas simplement l'église,
this is not the church,
même si c'est déjà beau,
though it is amazing,
mais
already,
c'est une église qui fait la fête,
but it is in a sense a feasting church,
pas parce que notre vie est merveilleuse,
not because our lives are amazing.
Mais parce que Dieu a fait une œuvre à l'intérieur.
But because God did something in, inside
et
of
on
our
célèbre
lives.
Dieu et on fait la fête.
And we are celebrating God and we are having a feast.
Pour célébrer ce que Dieu a fait.
To celebrate what God has done.
Et c'est sur cette montagne que nous nous tenons.
And that is the mountain on which we are.
Et qui va pouvoir nous donner tout ce dont nous avons besoin pour continuer de traverser cette existence.
That will allow us to, that will allow and give us everything we need to go through this life.
Combien de choses peuvent se passer dans notre vie durant cette semaine?
How many things can happen for in our lives this week?
Pas, évidemment, il ne faut pas regarder sur ce que nous vivons, peut-être.
Maybe we shouldn't look at what we are going through.
Parce que peut-être on peut désespérer de nous-mêmes.
Because maybe we can be desperate with ourselves.
Mais on peut espérer qu'il y a une montagne au milieu de nous.
But we can hope that there is a mountain in
among
us. Et
ensemble, on se rassemble.
And together we gather.
Pas simplement l'Église.
Not just the church.
Mais l'Église qui fait la fête.
But the church that is on a feast.
Pour la fête dans l'œuvre accomplie.
Like a feast in the finished work.
Et ça nous amène à parler de chacun d'entre nous.
And which leads us to speak about each one of us.
Nous sommes des premiers-nés.
We are these firstborns.
Ça a pas de sens.
Does it mean anything really? Doesn't have any meaning.
Parce que en général, il y a qu'un seul premier-né.
Because when you think about this, you can only have one firstborn in the family.
Il n'y a pas des premiers-nés.
You don't have firstborns in a family.
Nous savons dans toutes les écritures quel est le privilège qu'avait le premier-né.
We know throughout the scriptures that every firstborn had specific privileges.
Et c'est pour ça que Jacob voulait voler ce droit d'aînesse parce qu'il y avait un privilège.
This is what Jacob wanted to steal, that privilege.
Mais ce qui est extraordinaire, et c'est pour ça que nous faisons la fête.
And this is amazing, that's why we are in a feast.
C'est que peu importe les dons que nous avons.
Because no matter what gifts we have,
peu importe la vie que nous avons,
no matter the life we have,
peut-être on souhaiterait être comme quelqu'un d'autre.
Maybe we would love to be like somebody else.
Mais ça, c'est par la vue.
But that's the sight.
Parce que du point de vue de Dieu,
but from the point of view of God,
on est tous des premiers nés.
Each one of us is a firstborn.
Nous avons tout hérité en Jésus-Christ.
We have everything in Christ.
Tout à l'heure, Pasteur Chaleur a parlé de Luc 15 et de le cœur du Père.
And this morning, Pastor Shalom spoke about Luke 15 and the heart of the Father.
Et en lien avec ce que j'allais partager, il y a quelque chose qui m'est venu à l'esprit.
And it just came to my mind, connected to the verse that what I was preaching this morning.
C'est que, gloire à Dieu, ce que nous vivons, c'est pas cette parabole de Luc 15.
And glory to God, because what we are living is not Luke 15.
Bien sûr, nous avons le cœur du Père tel que nous le voyons dans la parabole.
Of course, we see and we experience the heart of the Father as we see in the parable.
Mais aussi, nous avons un premier né.
But we also have a firstborn.
Qui lui n'était pas jaloux.
That he is not jealous.
Qui ne se considérait pas comme étant supérieur.
That he didn't consider himself
as superior.
Alors que
pourtant, il était parfait.
You know, but he had a perfect life.
Nous étions perdus.
We were lost.
Nous étions tous des fils prodigues.
We were all prodigal sons.
Et qu'est-ce qu'il a fait ce premier-né?
What this firstborn, our firstborn did?
Il est allé dans le monde.
He went into the world.
Il est allé avec les porcs.
He went to those pigs.
Il est allé avec les gens de mauvaise vie.
He went to the people with the bad.
Il a été nous rechercher.
He went to take us.
Pour nous ramener au Père.
And bring us back to the Father.
Et par le Père, nous sommes tous maintenant des premiers-nés.
And through the Father, we each one of us is a firstborn.
Parce que ce que Jésus-Christ avait,
because what Jesus had,
il nous l'a donné.
He gave it to us.
Et c'est pour ça qu'on fait la fête.
This is why we are feasting.
Tout comme le Père a dit, bah, réjouissez-vous, on va tuer le veau gras.
Just like the Father said, let's rejoice, let's kill the fatted calf.
Et Jésus-Christ, qu'est-ce qu'il dit lui?
And what did Jesus said?
Il n'est pas jaloux.
He wasn't jealous.
Il ne trouve pas ça injuste.
He didn't think it was unfair.
Il dit, youpi!
He said, youhou!
Je vais faire la fête aussi.
I'm going to party too.
Et on se rassemble.
And we get together.
Parce que nous sommes une assemblée en fait.
Because we are an assembly.
Et on se réjouit.
And we rejoice.
Parce qu'on ne sera pas lapidé.
Because we will not be stoned.
Parce que ce n'est pas le tonnerre qui gronde en haut de la montagne.
Because this is not thunder from the mountain.
C'est cette phrase, venez à moi vous qui êtes fatigués.
But this is come unto me who are heavy laden.
Et je vous donnerai du repos.
And I will give you rest.
Donc que cette conférence,
may this conference,
soit une expression de l'assemblée en fait.
Be an expression of our assembly in a feast.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
God bless you.
Hello? Okay, you can stand. Can you?
Okay.
And you can share with the person next to you something from what we just heard, okay?
Okay. All right, so what did Pastor Texier preach about just now? What was it Pastor Texier preached about? Let's give me one thing. There are two mountains, right? And we have come to the Mount Zion. Have we gone to Mount Sinai? What's Mount Sinai? It's the law. Great. We have one brother here. His name is Sinai. Where is he? We do. We have a brother here, Sinai. Is he here? What? Is he? Would you stand up, Sinai? Look at it. Here he is. He's number one. We love that guy. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sinai. But we're not going to gather at that mountain. Okay. We gather at which one? Mount Zion. Okay, what's the assembly? The assembly of the firstborn. And he said the word assembly is for what kind of assembly? A cemetery assembly? Huh? Death assembly. Have you ever been to an assembly where you kind of wish you'd not gone there before? You don't want to go there anymore, but what is our assembly? Party time. Party time. Okay, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Okay. Would you put up on the screen the pictures from the march yesterday, please? Here we go. We did a march in Baltimore, Maryland, and we said we love Baltimore, we love Maryland. Just go through those. There were about 400 or 500 people. God is love. Africa prays for Baltimore. See it? Africa prays for Baltimore. Jesus, an emotional moment. Okay. We had a microphone. We had a picture up on Federal Hill, and you'll see it in a minute. There we were. We had the country flags. We had the signs, and we are making a statement that we have in our hearts love. This morning we want to give a message on fathers. So we're going to turn to Luke 15 and speak about fathers. It's a good message, and also sometimes in some way can be a sad topic for some people. One journalist, his name Tim Russert, wrote a book called The Wisdom of Our Fathers. He somehow communicated to people in the United States that they could write to him a letter about their dads. He received 60,000 letters and emails, and he read all of them, he said. One comment he said about a man, Dutch, in Park Rapids, Minnesota. He raised 8 children. They loved him. On his 75th birthday, his children put together a booklet in which each of them listed 75 reasons why they loved him. I wonder how big my booklet would be. They try to dig up 2 or 3. Okay. All right. So he found in his study that there was an overwhelming positive response from people. Not in every case. There was sometimes, he said, a man from Oregon wrote, "My dad was a beast. The only thing I learned from him was to stay out of his way. I learned more about love from my dogs than I did my dad." Yeah. But, he said, overwhelmingly, there were the positive statements, not because all fathers are good, but this woman wrote, "There is so much bad talk about fathers. It makes me cringe," one wrote, "to see how they portray fathers on TV today as stupid, incapable when it comes to caretaking, insensitive, beer drinking, sports obsessed, generally clueless." But then the woman said, "Every father I know is nothing like those TV dads. My father was the complete opposite." He found a common thread through the fathers that he had received the letters from. And the book is on the letters, which I am referring to. They spent time with their children. They paid attention. And they loved them. The third thing he said was common, that they were relatively modest men, not big talkers, but men that simply showed up or were there when things were good or things were bad. They did not abandon their children or ignore them, but they made the effort just to be there. And in little moments, there were moments of love. And in many of these letters, they just said, my dad didn't talk much, or my dad, but my dad was there. My dad was not flamboyant or big personality, but my dad cared. And so these letters are interesting to read. In another book that I'm reading called The Faith of the Fatherless by a Dr. Paul Veitz, makes a 400-year study on atheists and the predominant ones, the outspoken ones, the intellectuals, and the political atheists, and then the believers, and they were either Jewish or Christian in his book, and made a comparison and said that when the fathers were absent or the fathers were evil, oftentimes it planted seeds in the children of hatred and rebellion. And I have two short pieces to read regarding that. Joseph Stalin, during his early years, undeserved and severe beatings made the boy as hard and heartless as the father was. Since all people in authority over others, it seemed to be like his father, there soon arose in him a vengeance feeling against all people standing above him. In addition, his father was often not at home, spending some years working at various jobs in nearby towns. He drank heavily, beat his wife, Joseph's mother, to whom Joseph was attached. This rough and violent father had great difficulty making a living and wanted his son to become a cobbler or a factory worker. Young Stalin suffered other childhood trauma. He nearly died from smallpox. His left arm was permanently injured, and so on. Joseph's mother gave her son, her only surviving child, deep affection and support, and brought him toward the priesthood in the Orthodox Church. And for a few years, Stalin studied in a seminary. But in the seminary, he became a strong atheist. And his family name was this one, but then he changed his name to the word for Russian, in Russian, the word for steel, Stalin. As a political leader, he persecuted the Orthodox Church with great vigor. The communists murdered thousands of Orthodox priests, often in gruesome ways. And this, they are rooting it, the anger and the hatred, in the childhood. The second one was Hitler. Like Stalin, Adolf Hitler received severe and regular beatings from his father. His father was authoritarian and selfish, showing little concern for the feelings of his much younger wife and little understanding of his children. As a hard, unsympathetic, short-tempered man, and then Adolf had a half-brother who left home when he was 14, and then Hitler afterward to his mother wanted to bring him into the church also. Let's see, when Adolf, his father died, Adolf was 14, and from that time on had no father figure at all. His mother, like Stalin's mother, pushed her son toward the church. For a few years he went along, but by the age of confirmation he was clearly rebellious, and from then on never had anything good to say about Christianity. The importance of fathers, their absence or their death or their brutality, and what it can sow into the heart of a young person. And we see in our world today here in our country, the division of families and single parent families, mothers raising boys, teenage boys and young girls. And I have one example here of a Catholic Italian, John Bosco, who, when he was 2 years old, lost his dad. He was a hard-working boy. This is 19th century, chopping wood, cleaning the cow shed, digging, weeding, plowing, and so on. And then, after losing his dad, an uncle came into the picture. And it seems that this uncle played such an important role in fathering and caring for this young boy. How did it happen that this John fared between the age of 2, when his father died, and the age of 13, when he first met another, his uncle? And then after his uncle, there was a priest. And then after that priest, another priest. And this man, John Bosco, became a priest himself and started a mission to help young boys and young girls spiritually. And it says that these dreams that he had to help young people were very important in his life. And over 100 young people that are in record, on a historical record, that he had a powerful impact. In a way, he became a father figure for others who didn't have, when he himself had lost his dad. Instead of bitterness, like something happened in his heart. And we know this has happened to every one of us here today, that when we are born again, God gives us a new heart and the Holy Spirit. And actually, God himself becomes our Heavenly Father. And if you are coming from an abused background, your dad beating you or abusing you or terribly so, young girls abused, sexually abused and violated, and those painful thoughts and memories may be in your mind, there is a message for you. God knows you. God cares about you. And he wants you to know his love. Because God has chosen to make himself known by being called Father. Pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. Of all the names that God could have used, he said, Father and Son, my Son. I give my Son. I love the world so much. I think that maybe, in a way, with the breakdown in our moral climate and breakdown in relationships, that there will be more and more hurting people amongst us. And the church has an amazing message. God is our Father. In my life, my dad was awesome. I'm so thankful. He was one of those modest, kind of quiet guys, hardworking, but he was there and he cared. And he could take me so far. And then when I was 19 years old, I got saved. And then I was brought, I prayed God would lead me to a good church. And I'm from New York. And for some strange set of circumstances, I end up in Maine. And God gives me a spiritual father, Pastor Stevens. And he brought me to more. Our Heavenly Father puts people in your life to help you so that you'll be taken care of, because he's the great shepherd, and then he gives to the church shepherds, pastors, and others amongst us, young men and young ladies that care about other young people. And in a way, we never outgrow it, but we need somebody to spend some time with me, somebody to sit with me, somebody to show up at an event or come to the baseball game. Just like young people are looking for a little bit of attention. I remember sitting in a curb somewhere, you know, and somebody of importance walking by and saying in my heart, I wish they would notice me. And they walked by, and I thought to myself, if I ever am in that place where maybe somebody would be, the roles reversed, I am walking by, and I remember what it was like when some young person could be sitting there. So I stop and I go to the young person. Not always, of course, because we cannot do that always. But I want to be sensitive to the fact that there are people that need some attention, a listening ear, a faithful, a person with a word, a person that cares. This is what God has put in your heart. And it seems like if in the bad case where we have these radical and dramatic examples of hatred in Stalin, in Hitler, and imagine they were not just common, they were common young people, but they became political and powerful. And now the hatred can go out to millions of people. What an amazing thing that is in history. But in another way, the love that goes in to us, and then how much spiritually we can affect the world, how much our words mean to somebody who is alone, how much our attention may be bringing joy and understanding. And let's read the parable and think about it, because Jesus uses it and he describes it this way. Chapter 15 and verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. Lord, what kind of man was he? He had two sons. Was he a good father? Yes, he was a good one. He's like the earthly picture of our heavenly Father. You see But he could have been a bad one. And we know that there are bad ones. But if there is a bad one, and I have been in that family, then I want to make it very clear, as powerfully as we can, that cannot define your life. Your past pain cannot define your life. Your disappointment or the abuse or whatever has happened in your life cannot define your life. Because listen to the words, the Son of God came into the world so that anyone who would believe in him would be a new creation, and the old things are passed away. And I have met many people through our years where they have said, you know, I don't ever want to talk about it. It's over and gone. I've forgiven my father. It's dead and buried. It's over and gone. I am a new creation. I don't talk about it. I don't want to think about it. It's over and gone. It's over and gone. Just say that with me. It's over and gone. And use your arms like this and say, don't hurt the neighbor. It's over and gone. It's over and gone. Not going to be around me anymore. I am born again. I'm a child of God. It's over and gone. Thank you, Jesus. What about the men of God that are with us this week, that are men of God? I am so honored by that, honestly, to be in the presence of men and women of God that are doing good works, that are pastoring and caring for people. You know, when the door is slammed in your face, you know what you're tempted to do? I mean, by your daughter or your son. It was in the video. If you noticed it, the father's at the door, the daughter just slams the door, and he's just standing there, rejected. Get out of my face. And the door is slammed. But he's just standing there. You know where he is? He's standing there. He's taking the hit. He's enduring. He's standing there. The girl doesn't know what she's doing. She's out of her mind. Let it be that way. She's out of her mind. She doesn't know what's happening. And she hates her dad. I hate you. And slams the door. What's the dad do? You see, he's more than a child. He's a father. He's more than just circumstances. He has something going on in his life that's bigger. It says in the scripture, I've written unto you fathers because you have known him from the beginning. I've written unto you children because your sins are forgiven. I've written unto you young men because the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one. There are three categories mentioned. And then when he repeats it again, he says the same thing about fathers. You have known him from the beginning. Okay, go to verse 11, please. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods. Dad, take it. Get out of my sight. Get your stuff. Get out of my house. Get out of here. I got nothing to do with you. Look at verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And that was it. He was gone. The dad is still the dad. Isn't he? Dad is patient, kind, learning, imperfect, but there's some content there. I don't say any of this to shame any of us. We all had our upside down days and times in life. But I urge you, all of us, don't give up on your wife. Don't give up on your husband. Don't give up on your kids. If you haven't seen your kids, don't give up on them. Reach out to them, maybe, as God will lead you. This son is the bad son, but actually he isn't the bad one. He's the one that comes back. Verse 14. And when he had 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Have you ever noticed backslidden people always find some way to make it and survive without their family? Have you ever noticed that sometimes people go out in the world and they want the world to be the answer for their future and the world to be the answer for their heart and the world to be the answer for their lives? And they find somebody, a citizen of the country. But in the back of his mind, he has somebody that's kind of permanent in the back of his mind. And that is, in a sense, the impression that God can make in a person's heart when they meet you, when they are with you at work, when they listen to you, when they watch you. It happens they may mock you, but then when the collapse comes, they may come to you. Somebody shared with me yesterday at the march that on 9/11, their workmate at the hospital was mocking them and ridiculing them through their work. And, you know, it was a pattern. They didn't like the Christian. They didn't like her, like the Christian woman. And when 9/11 happened, the woman is like shocked, collapsed, troubled, and she runs to the Christian and says, "Tell me what is going on. Tell me what is going on." Fathers, fathers have to be there when the house comes down. Fathers cannot pack up and leave. They cannot abandon. Fathers, kids need dads. And the only way any of us could make it, and some we have examples and some we must learn those examples, and some of us we may not have a clue, but there's a good start right here when I put all my trust in Christ and ask Jesus to teach me that. Teach me when my son leaves that I'll never leave him. Teach me. I made a little story up, a little parable, that a man has a whole family in front of him and he gives a speech to the children. And I'll share it. I think you've heard it maybe. "Children, your mom and dad love you. We will be faithful to you. We will protect you and raise you. But if any of you get in trouble at school, if any of you bring shame on our family name, then it's over. Don't come home. It's over. If any of you end up in prison, then bring shame on our family and on our name. Shame on it. Then don't even, it's over. I have no relationship with you. It's over." Is that clear? The children are there like, they're like, "What's he talking about?" How crazy that is. And then when it comes to God, Christians say this. God gathers his family, goes, "Christians, let me tell you, you're my children. I love you. I'm faithful to you. I'll keep you. I'll protect you. But let me tell you one thing. If you ever bring shame on my name, if you ever live in sin, you ever depart from the faith, then it's over. Cast into hell. It's over." We kind of look at each other, we think, wow, okay, that's the way it is. It is not natural to be that way in a family. The family goes like this: "Children, your mom and dad love you. Let me tell you something. If you ever get trouble in school, I'm the first one you call, your mother or me. We'll never leave you, never forsake you. Any of you end up in prison, we're going to be there. We'll bring sandwiches for you. We'll be there. Don't worry about it. We will love you. If you get in trouble, we are there for you when you are in trouble. If you ever fail, we are there with you for in your failure." Which one sounds right? That's what this, you know, that's crazy. How can you lose your salvation if when you live like hell and were in the devil's family, God gave his son, shed his blood, and secured you and keeps you? How could our heavenly Father forsake us? Well, if my earthly father forsook me, then I make a direct comparison. And if he beats me, I hate him. And not only will I hate him, I will hate God who made him. And if he beats me and abuses me like that, well, maybe that explains a lot of the trouble that we have in this world. And believe me, the seeds of that trouble are being sown in our country. The seeds of that trouble. What do they need? They need a friend, a word. They need a faithful, somebody that loves. They need a church. They need the faith. They need a relationship. Let's finish it up here. Look at verse 16. "Would he fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat? And no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's? My father, I will go. My father will be there. My father has bread enough. He even has met more, and I am perishing. I will rise and go to my father. But his view of his father still wasn't that great. My father will hire me. My father will give me some, I'll be able to eat some food. Maybe I can live in the servant's house. Maybe my father will hire me as a servant. And so we are that way with God too when we are shallow. And so we think God is not rich toward us, that we don't realize the grace of God, that our guilt takes us away, our rebellion and our hatred takes us away even from each other. But we must learn love. Love draws us like a magnet. Love says, I'll leave my stuff at the cross and I'll come into the assembly and have fellowship with God. God is our Father. 80 times in the New Testament it says, Father. When the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, he said, pray like this, our Heavenly Father. That's it. The Father who had bread enough, he arose and came to his Father. But when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion. It's not too late if you've been a bad dad to call up, pick up the phone and apologize. It's not too late if you've been an absent dad to just say that if you want to, as God leads you. You're a new creation. The Holy Spirit leads you, and healing can happen. We want healing in the broken world, don't we? We're not perfect people. There are not perfect dads. There are not perfect pastors. They're not perfect Christians. We are simply people that are learning love, learning to be there, learning when the door's slammed in your face, you go, yeah, I feel that way about you too. Huh? Sure. No. My heart is broken. But I'm there. And when you come around to yourself, when you get back, when you get some, when life happens and you realize, then I'll run out on the highway and run down a great way off to meet you. Because I don't have any life without love. Without him in me and me loving you and waiting for you and being restored and being healed. And yeah, we can sit at a table and we've been through hell, all banged up, scarred, half of an arm hanging from my, just psychologically just ripped up, torn up. Been to hell and back many times, but sitting at a table with a big smile and a lot of love and a lot of grace and say, God is saying, those are my, there it is. I am in their presence. I am a healing God. I am the Heavenly Father. And life gets better. Even the trials that we go through, it gets better. And let's not fail in our relationships. The devil is saying all the time, leave it, get out of it, you got something better, drop it, nobody did it, all the stuff everywhere. But no, God's way is the best way. And Jesus Christ on the cross is saying, I'm not leaving. I made the world, and I'm going to save the world. I'm not leaving. You can try to get rid of me, but I'm coming back three days later. I'm going to be in your face. I'm not leaving. I am God, and I'm not finished. What an example for us. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this is a sensitive subject for some. but nothing you can't deal with, nothing that you cannot restore and forgive. And that there's nothing that's ever happened in any of our lives that we cannot say, I am sorry, forgive me. There's nothing here that could not be touched, and that we could not say, let's move on. We are healed, and God is good to us, and we have a Heavenly Father that is simply awesome. Bless our week this week as you speak to our hearts. And help us. Bless our neighborhoods. May we take notice of the kids around us. May we reach out in Baltimore this summer in our summer harvest with Gary Grunwald and teams and say to our city and our community, we care. And then in our own little way, wherever we are, just helping, reaching out, touching, listening, and caring. Bless us. Jesus. And then if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, you must be born again. You must believe in Him. Please, you must put your trust in Him. And He will forgive you, love you, never fail you. And say, I'll be with you always, even to the end of time, and forever and ever. Would you raise your hand if you're asking Christ into your heart this morning? Please, just raise your hand for me to see anyone here. Yes to Jesus, anyone. Amen.